2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 10.
Last night, I don't know what's wrong. I just feel it's very hard. I think this morning you get somewhat clear. Okay, why the Lord allowed David to have this kind of experience. Now, right, he was seemingly okay. They have to go to the wilderness. That in the wilderness, he goes through Cephas, right? Then secondly, go to Engedi. Then thirdly, go to Paran. They have to go back to Cephas. Then eventually go back to where he left, to those same Gentile country. Now, I think we somewhat finished David's hard part. Let's come to the good part, because to be in good part is much harder than to be in bad part, to the hard part. Now we come to message 6. Did we finish message 5, right? Okay, now we come to message 6. We missed many things. So the whole thing we can only consider as a sketch. When I study this, I really hope we could have 10 months. In other words, if we could have about 100 messages to cover, I'll tell you how meaningful all the incidents are and how rich the person's life can be. But anyway, now we come as a sketch. Now maturing, now message 6, maturing through ruling in Hebron and in Jerusalem for 40 years. Do you realize, even these 40 years, it doesn't mean he's immature. He's maturing. In other words, he has a certain stature. With that stature, he can become a king. He is able to rule. But remember that, your ruling experience should also be your maturing experience. So even a brother, strong and powerful, fulfilling his ministry, where he is fulfilling his ministry, he is also maturing through that fulfilling process. In a way, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was very mature where he was sending out from Antioch. But all these journeys where he pioneered through continents, through cities, to raise up Lord's testimony, make him a much more mature man. So here, we should consider this as a maturing experience of David. Number one, ruling in Hebron. This was Saul died, he ruled in Hebron. David went to Hebron through the leading of the Lord. In other words, even at this juncture, he's still after God's heart. He didn't take it as it's out to be. Look, finally he died, right? If he died, the second anointed one is me. So God, you have no choice but make me the king now. I like to declare my kingship because you have anointed me. No. Even this juncture, even Saul died, he still prayed to the Lord. Let me read the verse. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. He's praying, saying, shall I go up into any of the city in Judah? You see, he doesn't even have Israel in view. He only have Judah in view, because he was of the tribe of Judah, right? So he says, could I go to any city of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. I like this. Do you like this or not? Number one, yes, it's my turn now. But Lord, should I go? And Lord says, yes. Then where should I go? The Lord says, Hebron. Okay, if you say so, then I will follow you. Hebrew means what? Fellowship. In other words, now I want you to go to the city. Even greater, I demand you, never depart from me. Seems the Lord is speaking to him. I was with you. You inquired me. You prayed before me. You seek after my face. Now let me tell you, you are the king now. your king start with a much greater and intimate fellowship with me, the Lord of you. So he exercised his kingship firstly in Hebrew. So he went up with his two wives and those who followed him. So he got 600 men, right? But remember that, who are in that city after Saul died, you cannot believe how many thousand people came to him. This part puzzles me because he was very strong and powerful now. Even that, he still asked, Lord, should I go? And so forth. The Bible said, eventually have a mighty army of God. It's no longer a few mighty men. He gained army. Even with army, he still prayed, Lord, should I go? So when he says go, then his two wives, he took his two wives. That is what, you know the name, right? And then all that your whole life is in preparation of seeing the Lord. And we all feel differently how we see the Lord. One day, one brother risked himself, speak something about the truth, a few messages. Oh, he really paid a price for that. After he spoke these few messages, he was asked to repent. He doesn't know how to repent because speaking the truth. So eventually he was kicked out of the work, and he was peaceful, or was kicked out of the work. So I met other co-workers. They are good friends. So I told the other co-workers I know. I said, brother, you know, that four message he gave, give him a stand for the Lord to reward him. He can see the Lord because he has at least on one thing faithful. Oh, that was a shock to other co-workers. We were giving conferences. Do you get my point or not? We were serving the churches. And here you say a few messages that will stand before the Lord. Brother, no. It's not how much you do. In Christian, who you look at the globe today. Even when we were speaking, just these few minutes, do you know how many people get saved, global-wise? Do you know how many people were added to this organic body of Christ? Do you get my point or not? It's a grand work of this Lord Jesus Christ. But eventually, you know, among all, how many can see the Lord? You may be surprised. It may not be those preacher, may not be those pastor, but those who are faithful to Lord's commitment, even though may be very, very small. Sometimes people advise me, Titus, you are two kinds. One kind is, Titus, you are not a stupid man, which is true, right? I'm not stupid. You're not a stupid. How come you're not wise? You know, all what you have to do is what? I usually do not answer. Why do not answer? Because I know that. Here is a man talk to a cow. I'm a man. That's a cow. That's a cow. And you try to tell him, no. It's not what you do. It's are you ready to see Christ? Are you ready? If you cannot see the Lord, if one day the Lord would say, you have done so much for me, but I never know you, then what would you do? Do you get my point or not? Remember? When the Lord come back, one will say, Lord, haven't I done miracle? Haven't I preached in your name? Do you get my point? Haven't I did a lot of Christian work? And the Lord says, you, what slouch for evil, I never knew you. You have done so much, but I don't know you. This is a serious matter. Some, of course, are different. They're not cow. They're very human. They say, Titus, you are a simple man. You're too simple. You're too simple. I always like that. Brother, the simpler I am, the better. He says, because you're so simple, everybody take advantage of you. And you don't know how to defend yourself. I say, that's right. I don't. But within me, I had a feeling, if I defend myself, then where is the Lord? You understand what I'm talking about? Why don't you let the Lord defend you? Brother, you see, here, a Christian should live a life very much according to the coming back of Christ. I think so. On this part, it should be a comfort. So mess up. Do you get my point? Saul's whole life, later especially, after jealousy come in, that he become jealous against David. I tell you, you just wonder, how can such a godly person end up like this? Do you get my point or not? Even no longer a righteous man, even no longer a man you can count on. You know how David first saved him? Didn't kill him, cut his clothes, right? Then he should know already. But he still go after him. Then David take his armory away, and take his life supply away. And he even said, oh, you will be, the kingdom be upon you. But David is so smart, so wise. He realized, I don't trust all what he says. I understand when jealousy take a man over, they will do everything to kill you. It doesn't matter how you beg, how you weep, makes no difference. Until you die, they will never let you rest. So he escaped, eventually escaped to Gentiles. Do you realize? A brother cannot survive in the church life. He has to go to Gentiles. What kind of thing is this? But that is biblical. Very, very biblical. So eventually, with that kind of soul, I like this verse. He was buried in the city where he rescued. And David blessed it to show us soul will be able to see God on this merit. Lord, brothers and sisters, could I say this to you? In your whole life, consider there got to be something I can see God. I cannot just live a Christian life. I cannot just do Christian work. I cannot just be a zealous person. I cannot just even become a full-timer. I must, in my life, do things with the Lord's coming back in view.
Amen.
That's why Watchman Nee wrote this song, right? He said, daily I focus my eye on the light of the judgment seat. As I wish that all my daily life, daily living, my living, and all my work in that day is able to pass through fire. Remember, Paul said, right, there will be fire. The fire will manifest each one's work. Okay, you know, it's interesting, huh? He was anointed by the Judah, right, the man of Judah, to be the king. Then Abner means my father is a lamb. So if his father is a lamb, we don't know who is he. But anyway, it's interesting. You know, I'm a good second generation. Isn't this a second generation? Abner means second generation, right? My father is a lamb. I got a great father. Do you get my father has a great ministry, or my father has a great work. So I am my father lamb, the commander of Saul. Then what? He was beside Saul, in other words. Made Ishbosheth, man of shame, the son of Saul, the king over all Israel in Mahanaim. The Judah, man of Judah, anointed David. And Abner made him a king. And his name is interesting. I don't think any father like to name his son man of shame. I think Saul must have done something really bad when he beget him. This is why he's reminding him, I'm such a terrible guy. I don't know what bad things. Sorry, I didn't really study. I believe you really study about the time. You should somehow locate it. What he has done that bad. So he has a son. He called him man of shame. You know what happened? The religious guy, I experienced the second generation. After the ministry passed away, They want to say, my father is light. Then they want to make somebody the king. It's interesting. Did you realize very interesting? They make somebody king, the what? Over where? Over all Israel, a Mahanaim. Mahanaim means what? Two camps. Remember? Jacob, when Jacob escaped from his father-in-law's home, then the angels of God was protecting him. But he was so scared, he also worked out the camp himself. Then that place was called Mahanaim. In other words, God was there with him, and he also do something for himself. This is Israel. Israel has God, but also has man. God is there, and man is there. God is there because these are God's chosen people. Man is there because the ruling is after, according to man. Oh, because of this, all the bad things come. So verse point C. The commanders of both sides, Abner and Joab. Joab is David's commander. The commander of both sides, Abner, that is my father's lamb. And Joab's Jehovah's father. Okay, the name is much better, but don't think he's that good. He's pretty terrible. Met on either side of a pool of Gibeon. Hard to understand this. They must be good friends. You know, Abner and Joab, they must be good friends. So possible they were talk about boasting, you know. Oh, my men are mighty. The other says, no, my men are mighty. So this one says, we just have a mountaintop. That one says, we just have a young people's indoctrination. And this one says, we are in spirit. Then says, we are in truth. Do you realize how people like to compete? People always like to somewhat declare what we got is better than you. I heard some people want to come up to your town. What's your town? Ann Arbor. Yeah, some people want to come up to snatch all the young people, bring them into some other things. So, brother, remember that. This is his principle. Sometimes people ask you, Titus, look, everything's so hard. What would you do? And my only prayer is, I'm not in one side of the pool. Do you get my point or not? Don't take side. Now, for some reason, these two commanders, they communicate, and they're friends, actually. So this one boasting, I got a mighty man. That one says, no, I got a mighty man. This my army is so good. This one, my army is good. And let's fight. Well, if we fight, David's going to upset. Do you get my point? So let's not fight. How about let's play? Could you believe in this? So you read this, huh? So, and Abner, and now no need to read the verses, huh? So they gathered together on each side of a pool of Gibeon. And Abner said, huh? Let the young men arise. Everybody want to use young people. Poor young people, really poor young. Sometimes those young men, oh, Lord Jesus. When can young men have their own ability to follow Christ? Do you get my point? So Abner said, let the young men arise and pray before us. Let's wait two ministries sitting here watching who do the better job training our young people. Let young men arise and pray before us. Joab agreed. Joab agreed. I believe so. If you read the verse, sorry, we still better come to the verse, right? It didn't say that, huh? It only says both sides of the pool. And the young man both sides rose up and played. No, they kill one another. I tell you, the commanders still have a little self-control. When the young men fight, young men never know their life. Do you know something interesting? The suicide, most are by young men. The old men don't. Old men knows what the value of life. Young man has no idea how precious life. Do you get my point or not? That's why you see young men drive 120 miles per hour until the car flies out and four of them killed for nothing. Why? Because they never know life. See, in the beginning was playing, right? In the beginning was playing, for instance, let's wrestle. Well, look like David's David's guy is much better. So Abner's guy, one after another, just get out, out. So eventually one young man, I don't know if Abner knew it or not, but anyway, he put a knife in the pocket. So if he's going to wrestle, right in the middle, he's about to fail, kill one. Then I said, what? You killed my man. I got a knife too. Oh, Lord Jesus. So eventually, could you believe in this? Eventually, the two camp, whether they follow this or they don't follow this, makes no difference. It become a camp. Brother, may the Lord have mercy on you. You will never belong to any camp. Amen. You are children of God.
Amen.
You belong only to Christ.
Amen.
You know, brother, so eventually, the young men on both sides rose up. Maybe you just read the verse. And they caught everyone, his fellow, by the head. They grabbed the head, huh? And thrust his sword in his fellow's side. I don't believe it began with this. I believe in the beginning it was really plain. But the more you play, you know, the one side win. And for some reason, everyone come from Abner get defeated. So eventually they were, well, eventually Abner's side, they have much bigger number, but they were, we don't have coordinators good enough. We don't have good training. We don't have this. We better do something. Then, you know, this young brother look at the young brother. What should we do? The other says, I don't know. The other guy says, kill him. I said, be careful. And then they says, if you don't kill him, what would you do? Well, yeah, maybe the only way is to kill him. So they start the killing. The other side, what? You kill? Then many come up. Oh, it become a mob fight. So eventually, they struck his sword in his fellow's side, and they fell down together. So they will kill. They kill one another. Eventually, 19 servants, Joab and David, were killed. And Asahel, who was one of David's mighty men, ran as fast as gazelle. In order that he was the quickest man. He can run as fast as a gazelle. Now, even he was killed. We'll talk about this later. Why he was killed. Huh? Maybe we just read that. For insisting pursuing after Abner. So, for instance, they began to fight, right? Then when they began to fight, so many of Abner's men got killed. And David has good training. Joab has good training. So the people from Joab's side really know how to defend themselves and how to work as a team. So eventually, it became a harsh fight. So Abner realized it doesn't work anymore. He has to run. When Abner, he's a commander, a powerful commander. You know, he can make somebody king. You can see how powerful he is. But he was running away from it. Oh, this guy. He must be a stupid, mighty man. Really stupid. His name is what? Asahel, he ran so fast, right? Ha! We didn't know you run. He's get behind him. I mean, you listen to the talk. You listen to talk. I don't know whether the verses were quoted here or not. Let me read the verse. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner. So Abner can't run away. He ran too fast. Asahel ran too fast. And Abner said to him, turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left. Now we better read the verse because that is crucial. What is that? 2 Samuel 21. Brother, this portion where I read it, I'm just about weeping. I'm very moved by this. I wish among the local churches, the young people do not have to go through things like this. You know, chapter 21, right? Second Samuel. Second Samuel, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse what?
21.
And Abner said to him, turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left. Don't follow me. Turn this way or that way, please. Or chapter, verse what? 21. All to the left. And lay thee, hold on. One of the young men. Kill the young man, but don't kill me. What kind of thing is this? What kind of commander is this? With no view of young people. With no view to raise up young people. With no view that the young people really become a pawn for them to beautify themselves, for them to boast, then for them to have some success. No love. Look, listen to this talk. This talk is the most cruel talk in the whole Bible. What is this? Don't follow me. Go get the young people and kill him. Why you kill me? Why do you want to kill me? Why the young people have to be killed? You understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes I see brothers for raising up something. I better not say too much. I hate to see young people damaged. Brother, look at this verse. He said, right or left, lazy, hold on, one of the young men, and take thee his armor, get him killed. And Asahel is so stupid. He should say, the whole thing's stupid. Have you ever watched the movie called The Bridge of River Kwai? You should have watched that movie. That was a good movie. You say, oh, Titus, in your message, you tell us to watch a movie. I didn't say it, sorry. at the end of the whole movie, the medical doctor, the military doctor, conclude the movie, madness. In other words, everybody's mad to get into things like this. No value. Why don't you just, in the world, why don't you just build up your country? In the Lord, why don't you just fulfill your ministry? You attack this, madness. No value. Do this for what? If your brother die, what's good for you? You're free. And even the salt, you can kill my young people. Turn right, turn left, kill my young people. But don't follow me. Because he's more powerful. Actually, he's good. And this Asahel, he's stupid too. Shouldn't he wake up? Shouldn't he say, why should I kill young people? Why should I kill you? We are God's chosen people. We are Christians. We are loving the Lord. We all love the Lord's testimony. Why should we get ourselves involved in these kind of things? Why? But, brother, look at this. But Asahel would not turn aside from falling after him, of him. And Abner said again to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me, you stupid. He's really saying you stupid. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? I can kill you now if you keep following me. I don't want to kill you because why? Your brothers are my good friends. You see, so these two commanders are good friends. Yet they sacrifice young people as nothing. They shake hands in the name to fellowship, and the young people sacrificed. What kind of thing is this? So eventually he said, turn, follow me, wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? If I kill you, I can't see your brother. He and I are good friends. Then what? Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore, Abner with what? How do you read this word? Hinder. Ends of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. He killed him. Brother, isn't that madness? For what? For the whole thing is for what? Will you read it? I read this. I couldn't tell you how sorrowful I am. Young people oftentimes are damaged in this way. The older ones need young people to stand with them. Yet with no view, young people need to be raised up. Young people are not your capital for you to decorate yourself. Are not your capital for you to
consider how to make yourself strong. Young people are God's.
So eventually, let's come back to the outline. Right? So he killed in the first page, right? In the first page, 19 servants of, 19 of them were killed. Then plus, am I right? One Stephen man ran, and in other words, also in totally 20 killed. 19 were killed and Asahel. So totally 20 were killed. Then you come to point four. 360 servants of Abner were killed. In a way, they really won the victory, right? Didn't they win the victory? We die 20. And they die 300 what? 60. So how many everyone killed? Everyone killed 18. We had a big victory. Right? But you, brothers, can you enjoy these kind of things? How do you feel? When I see a young brother eventually get frustrated with whatever the reason, begin to love the world, I would cry. Why? Why we leading ones cannot provide them a ground? Nothing bothers them. No ideology. Everyone just tell them, love the Lord, love Jesus, love Christ. That's good enough. You can love brotherly ministry. You can love everyone's ministry. But love the Lord above everything.
Amen.
Isn't that good enough? Why should we fight? So eventually here, he said, 360 servants of Abner were killed unnecessarily. Their lives were sacrificed due to an ideology of their leader. Their leader just have a thought. Abner just have a thought. Well, Saul died. I mean, his son should be the king. It's very normal. Do you get my point? Just have that thought. No consideration of who God anointed, what God has done. No consideration of all this. Just that thought. Because these considerations fit his self-life. So eventually, remember, he didn't behave right. So the king, the man of shame, began to talk with him, why did you do this? And he got upset. He surrendered to David. He surrendered. That's why the two countries come together. After he surrendered, Joab, because he killed, what's his name? Asahel. So Joab killed him. And then David, even at his death, he said, Solomon killed Joab because he has killed Abner. You can see how much is going on year after year, even after 30 years. David was a king over Jerusalem for 33 years. Even after 33 years, that incident happened, still continued. It became a root. It's just like the close brother, the open brother. The brethren began to fight. When they began to fight, young people were caught in the middle. Young people began to suffer. Brother, I hope you never follow Titus. Titus is not worth for you to follow. But I say strong, you must follow Christ.
Amen.
Let nothing come to you replace Christ.
Amen.
No matter how good is the teaching, how good is doctrine, how good is practice, how prevailing, you have to say, I am for Christ.
Amen.
There's otherwise, how much sacrifice we will have. You know, brother, why? I've seen in a very happy way. Why? We all are old. And I see young people, crop and crop young people coming in, but no continuation. How many from the age 27, 28 to the age 45 still in the church life? How many? Very, very little. Look at your own locality. Very, very little. They go to the world. You will go to the world someday too. If today you do not know how only to love Christ.
Amen.
Only to love the testimony of Christ.
Amen.
These are the local churches.
Amen.
If you do not know how to love the local church you are in, if you do not know how to love the Lord Jesus, who is your Savior, you will never go on properly.
Amen.
Either you become a leader for your leadership, you continue, or you go to the world. Brother, young people need to be preserved. May you, brothers, have large mercy, so pure,
I only care for Christ.
Amen.
Remember that song? We only care for Christ. We only care for Christ. Brother, we should not care for anything else. Look at it. 360 people died for nothing. Not 1920, I can say. They died with a little reason. They defend the kingdom God anointed. The 306 died for nothing. Even the commander says, go kill more, but don't kill me. Don't let me kill you. You get my point or not? Even their commander, Abner, said, you go kill others, but don't let me kill you. Brother, what kind of leadership is this? Where do they have young people in their heart? The whole thing is so messy. This is what happened when David was in Hebrew. The ideology controls, and people fight. Brother, I'm thankful. In today, we don't need a king. The Lord has given us Christ.
Amen.
And the local church.
Amen.
Remember the hymn we used to sing? Christ and the local church. Christ and the local church. Christ and the church are reality and life. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we give our life to you for the building up of our body, for our building up in love. Building up the body, building up the in love, is Christ and what? And the local church. Anything go beyond local church, brother, eventually there will be casualties. Eventually people will fight. Who is orthodoxy? Who could take care of the work? Who can? One day one brother said, Titus, so what will be our future? I said, I don't understand what you're saying. Then the one brother said, well, will there be separation or division? I said, brother, what are you talking about? We have never been united as an organization. Because we have never been one as an organization, there can never be division. Do you understand what I mean? From the first day we were raised up, we were raised up according to the light, Christ and the local churches.
Amen.
So we're still practicing Christ and the local churches. What do you mean? So one day one brother was not so happy with me, was upset in a good way. He's my good friend. Upset. And then I said, brother, in 1970, you began to serve with me. Let me ask you one question. From then on, right, it's about 35 years. Is that 35?
Yes.
35 years. I say, brother, could you examine me? I mean, see if I have changed in any way. 35 years ago, I'm for Christ and the local church.
Amen.
Today, I'm for Christ and the local church.
Amen.
Till I die, I will be for Christ and the local church.
Amen.
Only Christ and local church.
Amen.
Can keep us going on without becoming an institution. Without becoming a very exclusive denomination. Only Christ and local church can raise up young people for his testimony.
Amen.
Lord has mercy. Amen. Then, let's come to point two. Anoint by the elders of Israel and become the king of Israel. So the first thing he did, after he became a king of Israel, first thing he did was he attacked Jebus, changing his name to Jerusalem, which means foundation of peace. In other words, finally, peace came. Jerusalem, right? It is also called the city of David or Zion. When you say Zion, which means the height of Jerusalem. When you say the David, city of David, means David's palace is in the height of Jerusalem. And the temple is in the height of Jerusalem. Do you get my point? Beforehand, all the king lives in their hometown. For instance, Samuel was in Ramah, right? Ramah. And I forgot where Saul was. It's his hometown. He exercised his kingship. In other words, I'm from Cleveland, so Cleveland should be the biggest. And he's from Columbus. He doesn't like Cleveland. So Columbus should be the biggest. Brother, eventually, people realize now, David as a king says, I would conquer Jerusalem. I will attack Jebus, take over the city, and change it to name to Jerusalem, means it's a foundation of peace. This become later the center of God's work. Even in New Testament, we're waiting for what? We're waiting for the New Jerusalem. Do you know how much David is after God's heart? Then secondly, perceiving the Lord established him king over Israel through the messengers of Hiram, king of Tyre. Tyre, how do you say that?
Tyre,
With gift of cedar trees and with carpenters and mason for him to build a house. I like the word perceiving. Don't you think he should assume everything now? I go through all the test, right? I go through all the trial, and the Lord has tell me to go up to Hebron, and now all the people, all the elders of Israel came to me, anointed me to be the king, and I conquered Jerusalem, I established the capital of the nation, so I made it! No. He was before the Lord all the time. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I dare not depart from your presence. Lord, I dare not to let you hide your face from me. I need you all the time. Lord Jesus. You know, brother, because he's such a person, he needs confirmations. So eventually, isn't that surprising? Out of nowhere, Hiram, king of Tyre. Not Tyre, pronounced him as today, the Tyre. Oh, maybe that's why I get David moving. King of Tyre. So he sent a messenger to David, says, here are all the cedar wood, here are the skilled person, you should build a palace. Then he pursued, he knows, well, Lord, thank you. Now I know you really are with me. Do you know how trembling he is in assuming the leadership? Then, thirdly, he really got into trouble, Lord Jesus. I hate this line. Taking more concubines and wives. How many he wants? He got two wives already, right? Then after he became a king, he took back Michal, right? He took back Michal. So he got three wives already. Why he need more wives? And then after he got all these wives, why he need more concubines? Do you get my point? He got eight wives. And we don't know how many concubines. How did Moses say? Could you find that verse or not? Moses told in Deuteronomy. What did Moses say? If you can't find it, it's okay.
Deuteronomy 17.
Deuteronomy 17. Anyone find it? Can you read it?
17:14-17.
Deuteronomy 17.
Chapter 17.
Verse 14. Anyone find it? Can you read it? Stand up and read it.
When you enter the land with Jehovah, your God...
Okay, so this is Moses said, when you get into the land,
And you possess it and dwell in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations...
So they want a king. You see, God knows it already, right?
You must set a king over you whom Jehovah, your God, will choose.
Okay, so this is all agreed, right? Up to now, Jehovah choose, right? Okay. Then?
From among your brothers, you shall set a king over you. You may not put a foreigner who is not your brother over you.
Yeah, don't get unsafe to be elder in the church.
However, he shall not amass horses to himself, and he shall not turn the people back to Egypt so that he may amass horses. Since Jehovah has said to you, you shall never again return that way.
Yeah, don't go back to the world, right? Now listen, most elders fail this part.
And he shall not amass wives to himself.
Okay, listen here. He shall not what?
Amass wives.
What does that mean?
To gather
wives. Wives. Oh, get a lot of wives. Okay.
So that his heart does not turn aside. Nor shall he amass silver and gold to himself in great amounts. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write out for himself a copy of this law in a book.
Yeah.
Out of that which is before the Levitical priest.
Do you get it or not? In other words, it's good enough. In other words, okay. Moses made it very clear. Once you become a king, you should carve this, make a stone, put it right in your bedroom. So every day you read it, you know that. Okay, this is. On that one point is don't get many wives. Do you get my point? Well, I think David made everything. He collected a lot of gold, a lot of silver, but not for him, all for God. Only on this part. Well, David is terrible. Anyway, he take more concubine wives, begetting more sons and daughters for that, praise the Lord. Then overcoming the Philistines. Now, it's another thing pretty bad. You know, you defeat Philistines, that's good, right? But carry away the idols. It's interesting, right? Where the Philistines left in their fleeing way. To make it a trophy? You know what I'm to say? This is how I got it. For soldiers. You know, soldiers says, I get the Philistine. I get the idol. That could be, right? To make a trophy. Or to sell it for money. That's all possible, right? Or just put the idol right in their home. Remember, David and Michal has an idol in their home. That idol was slain there to replace David. So we don't know what's happened. Two things are really bad. One is, okay, they have not get away from idols. Number one, he get a lot of wives and concubines. Number two, not get away from idols. So point E, the Lord Jehovah was mad at him and burned his beard and take away his hat, expose him. No. Isn't that what you ought to do? I'll do it. I'll burn his beard. Nathan. I'll burn his beard. And take away his head. But anyway, it's surprising. Lord was so happy with him. Seems all these things, he's not bothered. Lord was so happy with him, say, Philistines coming again, let's have a joint war. I mean, this only happened once. Let's fight together. I fight in the front, you fight in the back. I chase Philistines away, and in the back you capture them, you get them. Could you believe in this? Right after these two incidences, the Lord told him something like this. I tell you, even to listen to this is not easy. If God will tell me this, I'll say, God, don't fool me. I don't trust you on this matter. Why? Because I married many wives and concubines. I offended you. Number two, that I get a lot of idols, collect them as trophies, or even the idols at our homes, soldiers' homes. God, I know that. You are using Philistines to kill us, and you do not want to say it, so you lie to us and get us in trouble. Have you ever prayed like this? Oh, I do. I think you do too. After you come out from a movie, the Lord told you, go preach gospel. Oh, Lord, don't lie to me. Preaching gospel is not now. I'm still in that movie. Do you have that or not? Do you have the experience after you just get defeated or something, you have a feeling to do something for the Lord? Do you have that? But you dare not, right? I said, Lord, don't lie to me. Let's do it tomorrow, not today. Today, if I go to preach gospel, they can chew me up. I tell you, brother, he's really good. He's quite spiritual, I tell you. Following the command of the Lord by encompassing around the Philistines and going back to the Philistines, leaving the front for the Lord himself to attack. So Lord came himself to attack Philistines, right? Then testify how the Lord in the heavens work with the unworthy man on the earth for his testimony. Lord says, expose you. Let me expose you on two things. Then, you didn't do what I told you. You married many wives and concubines. Number two, you like idols. Even you are so unworthy, but Israel is my kingdom. Do you get my point? You are always after my heart. Therefore, I'll work with you in defeating Philistines to show you the heavenly Lord will work with unworthy men. Amen. Isn't that good? Then point three, bringing up the ark of God from Baal, Judah. Baal means Lord, remember? In the whole Judges, also they worship Baal. Worship Baal means worship the Lord of other gods. Other God as the Lord, huh? The Lord, the master of Judah. So he wanted to see, he realized, right? The ark the Ark of God or the Ark of Testimony was not with him in Jerusalem. Something's wrong. Because the priesthood and kingship should operate together. You know what I mean? So he wants to bring in the priestly service properly, housely, with his kingship. Right? Then he needs the Ark. So he wants to bring it in. He made it a big deal. Number one, gathered 30,000 chosen men of Israel. Actually, it's easy to do, right? It's an easy job. Just move it over. But I want to make it important so everybody know. Get it, 30,000. Second, he said, the Bible said the ark must be carried by the priest. But that's not good enough. Let us make him a car. Men are very stupid. The Bible said the church must be, the body of Christ must be expressed locally. And we say, let's come together. We are funny. I wouldn't use the word stupid, but we are interesting people. But anyway, so he says, let's make a new car. I tell you, that must be an extremely beautiful car. Very, very beautiful. Just think about it. David gets 30,000 men and makes this new car just to carry the ark. How beautiful that is designed. You know what I mean? Maybe with a lot of gold, with a lot of diamond, with a lot of silver. It's beautiful, the whole thing. Okay, so bring it out of house of Abinadab, what is father of generosity. Well, we have no time for that now. With Uzzah, with Uzzah driving the new cart. It's his chariot, right? Carrying the cart. And David was displeased and afraid, point one, of the Lord, due to the incidents that God smoke Uzzah as he put forth his hand to take off the ark of God, for the oxen shook it. All of a sudden, the ox who carry the car, for some reason, do not walk well. It doesn't make sense, because these are trained ox. Otherwise, how can they? But anyway, I think maybe Andrew tell him, they hurt. Then Uzzah, don't let it fall. Uzzah got killed. So David looked at it. Oh God, if I take this to my home, somebody touch with his finger, maybe my whole household will be killed. I'm after your heart, but not to that extent yet. I'm just a young man in the church in Cleveland. I'm ready to escape too. I better not say too much. It's not fair. Seth's a really good brother. He didn't escape. I'm just teasing. Put some color in the meeting. But I have no right to put our brother on the spot. Anyway, so he said, this is getting serious. I didn't realize it's that serious. I better be careful. So the ark stayed in the house of Obed-Edom. Edom's a Gentile, right? One of the Canaanites. So he stayed with a Canaanite's home. His name is Obed, right? For 3 months. In that 3 months, the Lord richly blessed that household. The Lord is interesting. If I were the Lord, I wouldn't do things like this. I would just say, David, you don't want to move it in? I'll fly it over. Just go. Then the ark fly. You think how attractive that it will be. And all the soldiers, wow, worship, hallelujah. The ark came, just fly over, right? And then sit there. Then David said, oh, thank you, God. I didn't do it. Everything's your glory. God says, no. I want you to share my glory. I want to bless you. So what? He first says, oh, David, you're so stupid. You let stay in Obed-Edom's home. So let me tell you, I will richly bless that home for 3 months. I don't know how can 3 months the Lord bless him. Maybe the second day he walk around, buy a piece of land, find out there's a gold mine. You know what I mean? Maybe he bought some stock, the company raised up 200%, 300%. I don't know what's happened. But all of a sudden he become very wealthy for 3 months. Wow. Then David says, wow. That's not bad to have it. You know, when the man says, Lord, I love you, only Lord is the one, do not laugh. You understand what I mean? When you say, Lord, I really love you, Lord says, I know. If I were the Lord, I would say, oh, you're kidding. You love whom? You never loved me. You always only love yourself in the name of me. You understand what I say? But anyway, the Lord seems so happy. You are ready to move. The only mistake you have is, I want the priest carry my ark. And you made a golden diamond cart. And I don't need this golden diamond cart. I need a priest. If you want to be my testimony, everybody raise up and serve. If you want to be a local church, all the members should be alive. If you want to bear my testimony, Christ must be reality. Amen. Don't just do outward things. Anyway, then David gets jealous. Like Obedo means what? Do we have a note here? Means a servant or a singer.
That's
I think he's a singer, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is a doorkeeper and a singer. But anyway, we have no time. Huh? I have to finish this. Let's rush it. Then, point three. The ark was born. Now this time he got smart. He realized, I can try everything to make it go. I can declare where, what, but it doesn't work. Now, whatever the Lord says, I better follow. If I only follow what the Lord says, things will be okay. My mistake is made a cart, so get Uzzah killed. Do you get my point? Now he, as a priest, all the priests come together, they bear this ark to the city of David. With David, girded with any effort, he said, not only they are priests, even I, the king, like to be a priest too. Could I have that privilege? I like it. You know, every time I'm with you, I told myself, I'm told for you, brothers. I mean that. I know you should hear, but I'm told. Every time I tell myself, even this, you know, in these days, I told myself at least 5 times, not next year, I'm too old, it's not even fair. Well, brother, the interesting part is this, but I want to put a young man's garment sit right over here with you young people. Isn't that enjoyable? I'm young too! Hallelujah! Oh, it's really something. Here he says, well, only priests can work with this, ark of testament, right? Carry it. So I better also put the ephah. Once I put the ephah, I must strip my king's garment. You know he's a king, right? A king's garment must be complicated, not as you young men. More like a speaker suit, right? A suit. You know, the speaker in the meeting put a suit on. That means king's garment, right? So now I want to be a young people. You know what's the secret to be young people? I better, you know, take up everything and, right? Then I can be a young people. Otherwise, you just think about, you look at me, what kind of person is this? Why is he here? So he says, all these are priests, right? I like to be a priest too. So he strip his king's garment. It doesn't mean he's totally naked. But naked, because it doesn't show others he's a king. He become a common person. Then with ephod, then he get a tambourine. Tambourine is a good instrument. He gets everything dancing. Wow, dancing, and the priests were following him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you see a beautiful picture? Amen. The king says, for Jehovah's sake, I'm no longer the king. The Lord is the king.
Amen.
I'm just one of the common Israelites.
Amen.
I like to put on ephah as a praise. I will dance before the Lord. I think he doesn't know quite how to dance. He's like me. So many people begin to laugh. What kind of dance is that? So let's finish it up. So the ark was born in the city of David. With David girded, with linen ephod, dancing before the Lord, and sacrificing oxen and fowls After six paces, I think this way, my guess, Obed-Edom was the doorkeeper of Jerusalem. In other words, just about getting to the city. So it's very close. This is very close. So maybe every six steps, there's offering. So the distance got to be very short. So every six pace, he offered this good stuff. Then what, huh? Then six pace, he sacrificed oxen and the fatlings, and then we danced before the Lord with all his might. Amen. I like that. You young people are chicken. Amen. If you can speak for the Lord with all your might, if you can follow Christ with all your might, Amen. If you can testify, preaching the gospel with all your might, Amen. How prevailing the Lord will be. Amen. You chicken young people. I mean that. Some of you stand up. Brother, stand up with all your might.
Amen.
Look at David. David says, I'm old. He's an old man. He's old. I'm old. I think he's around 40 now. I'm 40 or 40-some. I'm not 70, not as old as I am. But I will dance with all might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The whole thing is so funny. But God was so happy.
Amen.
Because all the Israel say, joyful, praise the Lord. Amen. The ark of testimony come to be a reality.
Amen.
How good that is. Did you like it? Okay, so eventually, right, Michal, the daughter of Saul, he was standing on the window. Look, who's the one that dancing that wild? He must be pretty old too. The eyesight may not be that good. He said, maid, who's that guy? The young girl looked at him. Oh, it's our king, our Lord. And she says, what? My husband do these kind of stupid things? Huh? sisters, you ought to marry elders, marry full-timers, praise the Lord for that, huh? But if the Lord give you a brother, just a brother, praise the Lord even more.
Amen.
Don't use your husband to decorate you, but rather love the Lord yourself.
Amen.
Do you get my point or not? So eventually, now, he said, well, how can this be? When you see David, he mocked at David. He says, oh, what is this? The king, the nun, David. He used the word naked. You are naked. Naked doesn't mean he's stripped. Naked means you are no longer with king's garment. Wherever you are in front of people, you should be looked at the king as a king. Now, what kind of person are you? Oh, David's answer was so good. He said, huh? It was before the Lord who appointed me the ruler of Israel. The Lord made me the ruler. I'm not even qualified. I don't even know how I become the king. But the Lord made me. He appointed me. Therefore, I played before the Lord. I danced for the Lord's sake.
Amen.
Do you get my point? How good that is. If you all can say, I praise gospel before the Lord. I testify before the Lord. I serve young people before the Lord. I do everything before the Lord. Therefore, I play before the Lord. Then what? I will be even more vile than this. I'll be even more humiliated. Is that right? The word? You think I'm low? I'll be lower than that. I'll be even more vile than this. I'm more base in my own sight. Even I look at myself. I tell you, I marvel, I cannot understand, I pray to God, how can you make an unworthy people like me to be the king over Israel?
Amen.
Do you get my point or not? Brother, he in the God's sight, before God, has a such deep realization how everything is according to God's mercy. Yet he's no this. Pies to himself. Is that right?
Yeah.
He still respects himself. I'm servants. I'm God's servant. Yet how can I be God's servant? I just cannot believe. I cannot see how can that be, but I know they are with me. Praise the Lord for that. Then, okay, tonight we talk about the temple. I think in this way, in the morning usually we can do better because we are not that tired. Do you understand? In the evening, everything bothers you. If the sound system is not good, we're in trouble. If the air condition is not good, we're in trouble. The seating arrangement is not good, we're in trouble. The brother beside you snore, we're in trouble. So brothers, in the evening, you need a much stronger exercise of your spirit.
Amen.
I'm very thankful. Last night, the things I didn't share, the brothers made it up this morning. They made it very clear, isn't it?
Amen.
After you hear the four brothers, it's very clear. So, Lord, be merciful to us. We still have to cover the tabernacle. We still have to cover the ruler of the king, right? We still have to cover the wives, and we still have to cover the mighty man. And we have two meetings. So, brother, be very strong in your spirit.
Amen.
So we can go fast. Can we have one brother tell the Lord, Lord, I like to be as David.
Amen.
I will dance with all my might
Amen.
To satisfy your heart.
Amen. Amen.